Good morning. Back when I was in the seminary, in the mid to late 70s, I had a professor in my first year of seminary who was one of the best professors I ever had, and he actually also became my spiritual director. But after about a couple years in the seminary, he left the seminary where I was and went to teach at another seminary, which was Mary Knoll Seminary. You may have heard of Mary Knoll. Years ago, they were a large community of folks who felt a call to mission work, particularly at that time in Latin America, South America, and what then was referred to as third world countries in the world. And I used to keep in touch with him. We'd get together for lunch or catch up by phone or meet, but he invited me one time to a presentation that was being given, and he said, "I really think you'd like this presentation. Why don't you come on up?" So I drove up. It's about a half hour from where my seminary was, and I heard for the first time someone I'd never known of or met. His name was Brother David Stendelrast, a Benedictine monk who at that time I hadn't heard of, but has become one of the three most influential spiritual type people in my life through his writings and through his speaking and his talks. Brother David's still with us in his 90s now, and back then he was a young guy, as we all were younger then. But I'll never forget that presentation. Do you ever have a moment where you can remember the room, you can remember the people, you can remember everything about it? Did you ever have an experience like that? That was that night, hearing Brother David speak. And what he spoke that night has stayed with me and has shaped me in ways beyond what I can describe. And it has fed and nourished me so much along the way. And I remember after the talk turning to my professor saying, "I think he's a lot better than you are." I'm just going to tease. But it was a powerful presentation. And he spoke for about an hour, but his stepping off point was this reading from Genesis that we just heard. This reading from Genesis, which I've over the years shared thoughts with you on. I know I've spoken of them. I don't want to presume you remember hearing them. But I do want to share with you some of the shape that he gave to this and how it can really speak to us today. It's a very short reading, very compact, and it's referred to as the call of Abraham. He's called Abram in the reading today. Eventually, he and his wife's names are changed, Abraham and Sarah, from Abram, Sarai, to Abraham and Sarah. And Abram is called by God. It's described as having this experience. It's believed that Abraham was an older person. Most of his life was behind him. He was successful in what he did. He had flocks, he had a family, he had people, he had a land where he was. And he has this experience of God. And in the reading, very powerfully, God says to Abraham, "Go." Interesting. It's not come, it's go. Go to the land that I will show you. Go. And in this brief reading, there's really no conversation between Abraham and God. It says in that verse, "And he went." Go. And he went. Many would suggest that this is really the beginning of the people that God is forming and has chosen. It's chapter 12 of Genesis. The earlier chapters are the stories that the descendants of Abraham told to engage more in this relationship with this God, the story of creation and Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and the Tower of Babel and Noah's Ark. All those stories are kind of mythic stories and narratives that these descendants of Abraham would tell. And so in many ways, this is the beginning of the story of Abraham and Sarah. Now, what's interesting is we consider Abraham and Sarah to be our ancestors in faith. Our ancestors in faith. Now, if I ask you, what is faith? Most of us would say, I don't want to presume this, but most of us would say, believing in something. We'll use phrases like, my faith is my rock. My faith is my anchor. It's the things I believe in. And I'm not saying that's not true. But I would suggest that another way of seeing faith, rather than believing in something, it's more trusting in someone. Faith is trusting in someone. Notice in this story that we just read from Genesis, God says to Abraham, go. And he goes. He begins the journey of faith. Notice God isn't saying to Abraham, here are the things that I'd like you to believe, but just go. Just go. Let go of what you know for what you do not yet know. Let go of who you are for who you can yet become. Let go. Let go of who you are for who you can become. And Abraham and Sarah go. And they're called our ancestors in faith. Now, eventually, as they begin to journey and walk, they will begin to form narratives. They will form ways that they live together. But the faith began with this trusting relationship, and that has so had an effect on my life. Even in the scriptures where Jesus calls his disciples, notice that when Jesus calls his disciples to follow him, he doesn't say to them, now, if you want to follow me, here are the things you have to believe. But rather, follow me. Walk with me. And in that relationship, faith comes to life and being called together. So for me, grounded in this reading and these thoughts of David Steindl-Rast from 1977, they have sat with me for years, and it has really, really helped me to see that faith is primarily trusting in someone, trusting in this Holy One, and trusting each other, and forming community. As a people of faith, we trust one another, and we form these relationships, that faith is about relationships, and going forth into the wonder of who God calls all of us to be. This kind of teaching comes to me as we gather together today during this season of Lent. As you know, during Lent, we are focusing on these five initiatives of St. Paul's cares, captured in the signs that you see outside. Captured in the way that we're trying to live into these initiatives. Some of them we are well living into, others we've got room to grow. And they're inviting us to become something, become a people. Today, it's working for justice with our neighbors. That's the work that we're going to be focusing on. And during our adult formation today, I really encourage you to come on up to the chapel where we'll look at one area we're living into this, which is the one wake. One wake. Devin Ross is with us today to kind of lead this, facilitate this gathering. And I want to share why these two things connect in my head. About 3 years ago, clergy in our area began to look for ways to work together, rather in the ways that sometimes churches work in kind of separate silos. You know, we all work in our own kind of thing. How can we work together? And clergy in our area began to have these conversations and began the work of organizing ourselves and connecting with folks who could help us do that. And we began with relationships. We began with learning to trust one another, to form connections. Such an essential part of this faith journey. And so for about 2 years, The clergy who became engaged in this began to find ways to meet each other, not just at these meetings, but outside of these meetings, to have a cup of coffee with someone, to go out to lunch with someone, and come to know each other, come to know one another. And in those relationships, began to meet people that I know I would never have met except for this kind of go. Meet others. Come together. What's interesting is that the folks, as we got to get to know one another and form these relationships, it was really across a spectrum of theological views, of political views, of just people, demographics, ages, backgrounds, coming together. And over 2 years, we spent time forming relationships. Now, there were many of us saying, okay, well, but what are we going to do? You know, what's the something of this faith journey? What's the thing? What is it we're about? And we kept trusting our facilitators, just build those trusting relationships. And we walked patiently for about almost 2 years, the clergy doing this, and many, just the numbers of meetings that took place as we got to know each other. Then we began to invite our congregations into this relationship. Our congregations began to get together and come to know one another. And some of you here at St. Paul's who've been involved in this work together, and there are many of you, have come together with folks from other congregations, other organizations, other places, synagogues, mosques, churches, to come to know each other, build those relationships, build those trusting relationships. And after almost 3 years, based on those relationships and coming to know each other, we came up with the things that we want to work on together. We didn't start with those things, because if we started with those things, there may have been things that not everybody agreed to. But what we did through relationships is kind of talk to each other. Where is your energy? What is it we can do together to make a difference in the lives of folks living here in Wake County? That was our focus. How can we improve the lives of folks living here in Wake County? And after getting to know one another, we realized where we had a lot in common, where we could work together. And I found this work to be really, really encouraging, engaging, and exciting as we go forward together. And it wasn't really until a few months ago, after building these relationships, that we discovered the things that we felt we could work on together. And they had to do with affordable housing. Seeing that our educational opportunities in Wake County are provided to all, not just some, and to find ways that folks in this community can have a living wage where they can live where they work. And those are some things we felt energy around. And so these congregations, over 40 congregations and more, are beginning that work together. And it just strikes me that it very much mirrors the story of Abraham and Sarah. Being called by God, to trust in God's call, to build these relationships. That's the rest of the story of the scriptures, building those relationships with each other and living into the dream that God has for us. And so today I encourage you to come on up to the chapel for this time together and to learn about this ministry that we're a part of. But it also defines so many of the ministries here, all the ministries you do here at St. Paul's. You hear people say, you know, I love doing what we're doing, but you know what I find most rewarding is getting to know other people. It's about the relationships as we come together. So let us continue this journey through Lent, continuing to live as descendants of Abraham and Sarah, continuing to trust, continuing to let go. Let go for the wonder of what God can give us. And may we as a parish, in the work we're doing with One Wake, let go and see how God can powerfully work in our midst to enable all of us who live in this area to flourish together.